I looked at riders who had been on the road for 20, 30, even 40 years without a single crash. Not a low side in a parking lot. Not a fender tap at a stoplight. Nothing. Exposed to the same traffic, the same distracted drivers, the same gravel in blind corners that everyone else deals with. And they all do the same thing. But it is not what any safety course ever taught me. And honestly, it took a while to even see it. Because the thing these riders do looks like absolutely nothing from the outside. Before I explain what it is, you need to understand why this matters so much more than you probably think. 6,335. That's how many motorcyclists died on American roads in 2023 alone, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. That is the highest number since NHTSA started keeping records back in 1975. And motorcycles make up just a small fraction of registered vehicles and an even smaller share of miles driven in the United States. Do the math on that, and a motorcyclist is roughly 28 times more likely to die per mile traveled than someone sitting in a car. 28 times. So, yeah, this is not a casual topic. But here's where it gets really interesting. When researchers actually dig into how these crashes happen, the data tells a story that completely flips the standard safety narrative on its head. The Hurt Report, published in 1981 out of the University of Southern California, is still the single most cited motorcycle crash study ever conducted. The research team analyzed over 900 real motorcycle accidents in the Los Angeles area, and one finding jumped off the page. In crashes involving another vehicle, the other driver violated the motorcycle rider's right of way roughly two-thirds of the time. The most common scenario was a car turning left directly into the path of an oncoming motorcycle. The driver just didn't see the rider. And the pattern still shows up today. Data from NHTSA for 2023 shows that 46% of fatal two-vehicle motorcycle crashes involve the other vehicle turning left while the motorcycle goes straight. Over 40 years of safety campaigns, better gear, better bikes, and the same scenario keeps killing riders in almost the same proportion. Now you might hear that and think, well, it's the car drivers, nothing a rider can do. But that is where the crash-free riders would stop you cold. There is another number hiding in the data, and it shifts the whole perspective. The Hurt Report found that the typical motorcycle accident allows the rider less than 2 seconds to complete all collision avoidance action. Less than 2 seconds. A later analysis by the National Transportation Safety Board confirmed that in more than 3/4 of crashes studied, riders had 3 seconds or less between recognizing the hazard and impact. That is barely enough time to blink and grab the brake lever. By the time a dangerous situation becomes obvious, the outcome is almost already decided. And that is the whole point. That is exactly why the riders who never crash approach riding completely differently from everyone else. They are not faster at reacting. They reduce how often they ever need to rely on last-second reactions in the first place. But wait, the data gets even more damning. Those multi-vehicle crashes where cars turn left into riders are only part of the picture. About 35% of motorcycle fatalities are single-vehicle crashes, just the rider and the road. In those cases, rider factors like error, speeding, or impairment are the major contributing cause in the large majority of incidents. Running too hot into a corner, grabbing too much brake on a dirty surface, misjudging a curve radius at night. And then there are the rider demographics that crash research keeps circling back to. 26% of fatally crashed riders in the U.S. had a blood alcohol level at or above 0.08. That number jumps to 41% in single vehicle crashes. 36% were speeding. And this one really got me. 34% of riders killed in crashes did not even have a valid motorcycle license. The Hurt Report's original sample from the late 1970s found that 92% of crash-involved riders were self-taught or learned from family and friends with no formal training at all. So you have a situation where a huge number of fatal crashes involve riders who were untrained, unlicensed, impaired, or speeding, often more than one of those at the same time. The riders who avoid crashes for decades have structurally eliminated every single one of those risk factors from their riding. That is not luck, that is a system. This is going to make a lot more sense once you see what scientists found when they literally tracked where expert riders look while they ride. In 2025, the International Journal of Motorcycle Studies published a scoping review that analyzed 18 separate eye-tracking studies on motorcyclists. The findings were striking. Experienced riders deploy consistently different visual gaze patterns than novice riders. They look further down the road, they scan a wider field of view, and they adapt their scanning pattern based on the type of road they are on. A twisty mountain pass gets a different visual strategy than a straight urban boulevard. Novice riders do the opposite. They fixate close to their front wheel with a narrow, tunnel-like focus, and they use the same scanning pattern regardless of what the road demands. In a demonstration by Bennett's Bike Social using Pupil Labs wearable eye trackers, they put the same tracking equipment on a professional racer, an experienced track rider, and a novice, then sent them on identical routes. The expert riders looked further ahead and committed to their visual targets without second-guessing or rechecking. The novice rider was distracted constantly, looked at reference points way too late, and kept glancing down right in front of the bike. Think about that for a second. The expert rider's eyes were solving problems that had not happened yet, while the novice rider's eyes were still catching up to problems that were already in progress. But the finding that really shook me came from Crundall and colleagues in a 2013 study published in Accident Analysis and Prevention. Researchers tested three groups of riders: novices, experienced riders, and advanced trained riders. You would expect the experienced group to outperform the novices, right? They did not. The experienced but untrained riders performed worse than expected, and in some measures were even slower to respond to hazards than the novices. Read that again. Years on a motorcycle by themselves did not make riders safer. In some cases, they made them worse. The only group that showed genuinely superior hazard response was the riders who had pursued training on top of their experience. There was another detail from that study that matters even more. The advanced riders made internal attributions for hazard causes. When something went wrong, they said things like, "I should have positioned better," or "I needed to be scanning that side street earlier." The experienced but untrained riders blame the other driver almost every time. Same situation, completely different relationship with responsibility. So what exactly are the crash-free riders doing in their heads while they ride? The Motorcycle Safety Foundation teaches a framework called SE, which stands for Search, Evaluate, Execute. It breaks riding into a continuous mental loop. You aggressively search the environment, evaluate what the hazards mean and how they might develop, then execute a response, whether that is adjusting your speed, changing your lane position, or simply covering the brake lever. The older CPDE method adds two more steps, identify and predict, making it a five-step loop. Both systems trace directly back to the HURT Report's core recommendation that riders develop a traffic strategy that allows them to see and be seen. But the framework that really captures what crash-free riders do is the 12-second rule. Many training systems, including the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, emphasize scanning well ahead, often described as a 12-second visual lead. The idea is built on three time horizons: a minimum 2 seconds of following distance, 4 seconds of immediate path scanning, and 12 seconds of forward visual search. At 60 miles per hour, 12 seconds ahead is more than 1,000 feet. That is nearly a quarter mile of road that you are actively reading for developing problems. The rider in the minivan's blind spot at an intersection is not surprised when that minivan starts to merge, because they identified the minivan 20 seconds earlier, evaluated the geometry of the situation, and quietly moved to a different lane position before the driver even considered merging. Motorcycle safety educator Kevin Morris, who runs MCRIDER, built his entire teaching philosophy around this distinction. He separates what he calls road skills, which is the physical control of the motorcycle, from road strategy, which is the mental game of anticipation. He has said something that perfectly captures the invisible skill. Some of his best riding moments did not involve any fancy maneuvers at all. They happened when he anticipated a hazard, adjusted his speed or position, and the problem just never materialized. That is the invisible skill, the crash that never happens, because the rider was already somewhere else. Over in the UK, they take this even further. IAM RoadSmart teaches a system called IPSGA. The letters stand for Information, position, speed, gear, and acceleration. It comes directly from police motorcycle training and from a book called Motorcycle Roadcraft, which has become the Bible for advanced riding in Britain. The entire system is built on one idea: information comes first. Before you adjust your position, before you touch the brakes, before you do anything, you gather information. You take information in from the road, you use it to make decisions, and you give information to other road users through your positioning and your signals. UK police riders train with something called commentary riding. You literally narrate out loud every hazard you see, what it means, and what you are going to do about it. A typical commentary might be this: car waiting at the junction ahead, driver looking right, not at me, covering the brake, moving to the right side of the lane to increase my visibility. It sounds ridiculous. But a study in 2010 by Crundall, Andrews, Van Loon, and Chapman found that drivers trained in commentary had fewer crashes in a simulator, reduced their speed sooner when approaching hazards, and hit the brakes earlier than untrained drivers. It forces your brain to actively process the environment instead of passively watching it scroll by. And that active processing is the key to everything, because the human brain has a nasty habit of going on autopilot. When your brain goes on autopilot on a motorcycle, you stop scanning, you stop planning, and you start relying on myths that feel true but will absolutely get you killed. If you've been riding for a while, you've probably heard certain pieces of safety advice repeated so often they feel like gospel. And some of them are flat out wrong. Loud pipes save lives. You've heard this one 1,000 times. A study conducted by MotoADN and the Polytechnic University of Bucharest actually tested it. They measured the sound levels of motorcycles, including bikes hitting their rev limiters, from the perspective of a car just 15 meters ahead. The motorcycles were inaudible inside the car. The physics explain why. Exhaust pipes point backward. Sound follows the motorcycle instead of traveling ahead of it. You're announcing yourself to the people you've already passed, not to the distracted driver at the intersection you're approaching. And there is little strong evidence showing loud exhausts actually reduce crash risk. I had to lay it down. If you've spent any time around older riders, you've probably heard this one. And it sounds reasonable until you think about the physics for even half a second. A motorcycle upright on its tires, with the brakes applied, stops dramatically shorter than a motorcycle sliding on its side across pavement. Once the bike is on the ground, the rider has zero braking ability and zero steering ability. You've turned yourself into a human hockey puck sliding toward the exact thing you were trying to avoid. With modern ABS and radial tires, intentionally dropping the bike is never the right call. What actually happened in those stories, almost every time, is the rider locked the rear brake, the bike slid out from under them, and the story got rewritten after the fact. And then there is high-vis gear. Wearing fluorescent yellow or reflective vests does reduce your risk. A British medical journal study found riders in fluorescent clothing had a 37% lower injury risk. That's real. But a New Zealand study found that in 65% of the crashes they analyzed, the riders' clothing made no contribution to whether they were seen. David Hoch, the legendary motorcycle safety author with over 1 million miles of riding, identified the deeper problem. A driver who has no interest in motorcycles and is not expecting to see, one may not comprehend a motorcycle regardless of how conspicuous it is. That is a phenomenon called inattentional blindness, and no amount of neon can fix it. Two more quick ones that deserve mention. The idea that a bigger, heavier motorcycle is inherently safer on the highway, there is no strong evidence for that. Larger displacement engines do not correlate with safety in the data. What they do correlate with is higher speeds and more confidence, which is not the same thing. And the fear of using the front brake. A lot of newer riders are terrified of the front brake because someone told them they would flip over the handlebars. In reality, the front brake provides the majority of your stopping power. Avoiding it does not make you safer. it dramatically extends the distance it takes you to stop, which is exactly the opposite of what you need when that car pulls out in front of you with 2 seconds to spare. So if loud pipes do not save you, laying it down is a myth. Hi-Vis only goes so far, bigger bikes do not protect you, and avoiding the front brake makes things worse. What actually works? If you're finding this useful, hit subscribe. I cover the stuff that actually keeps riders on two wheels every single week. Because the answer keeps circling back to the same place, the mind. There is a quote from the aviation world that motorcycle riders have adopted as their own. It is usually attributed to the astronaut Frank Borman. A superior pilot uses his superior judgment to avoid situations which require the use of his superior skill. That single sentence captures everything I found when I studied crash-free riders. The defining trait is not reflexes, not bike handling, not even experience by itself. It is judgment applied continuously, proactively, and without exception. These riders approach every single ride with the assumption that they are invisible to every car on the road, not as paranoia, but as strategy. They maintain that 12-second visual lead on the highway, scanning far enough ahead that hazards dissolve into non-events by the time they arrive. They cover the brake lever when passing driveways and intersections, not because a car is pulling out, but because the geometry allows one to. They shift their lane position constantly, not sitting fixed in the center of the lane, but moving left or right to maximize sight lines and keep escape routes open. This is proactive riding. Picture a crash-free rider approaching a busy intersection on a four-lane road. Before they even get close, they have identified the white SUV waiting to turn left. They have noticed the driver is looking at traffic from the other direction, not at them. They have already moved to the right portion of their lane to create more visual separation. They have rolled off the throttle slightly and moved 2 fingers onto the brake lever. The SUV pulls out. The rider is already 10 feet to the right with reduced speed and the brake preloaded. No drama. No squealing tires. The rider barely notices it happened because for them, it was handled 30 seconds earlier. Compare that to an average rider approaching the same intersection. Same SUV, same distracted driver. But this rider is in the center of the lane, maintaining full speed, both hands wrapped around the grips. The SUV pulls out. Now this rider has maybe 2 seconds to recognize the danger, decide what to do, and physically execute a braking or swerving maneuver. Maybe they make it, maybe they do not. The difference between these two riders is not skill. It is the 30 seconds of thinking that happened before the SUV ever moved. They never ride impaired. And impaired does not just mean alcohol, though 26% of rider fatalities involve a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or higher. It also means fatigued, distracted, angry after a bad phone call, emotionally checked out on a route they have ridden 1,000 times. Some research suggests riders may actually take more risks on familiar roads because familiarity dulls active scanning. The crash-free rider treats their Tuesday morning commute with the same mental discipline as a ride through an unfamiliar mountain pass every single time. And here is the part that really separates them. They practice emergency maneuvers regularly, hard braking, swerving, cornering at the limits. They keep those skills sharp. But they treat ever needing to use those skills on the street as a personal failure. If you had to grab a fistful of front brake to avoid a car, the crash-free rider does not celebrate the save. They rewind the tape and figure out where their strategy broke down 5 seconds earlier. Kevin Morris of M. Crider has analyzed dozens of crash videos online, and he has pointed out the same pattern over and over. The crash was decided before it happened. The moment that mattered was not when the car pulled out. It was 5 or 10 seconds before that, when the rider failed to read the situation and adjust. If you have been riding for a while and you are watching this, you probably already know some of this instinctively, but knowing it and doing it every single ride are two very different things. The Crundle study showed that time on a motorcycle builds familiarity. Only deliberate, continuous, proactive mental engagement builds the kind of expertise that keeps you alive. The riders who go 20 and 30 years without a crash do not have dramatic stories. They cannot tell you about the crashes they narrowly avoided, because those crashes never got close enough to become stories worth telling. The car that might have turned left across their path never got the chance, because they had already adjusted speed and position before the driver even looked up from their phone. That's the invisible skill. It is not invisible because it is complicated. It is invisible because it works. If this changed how you think about riding, hit subscribe. I break down the stuff that actually keeps riders on two wheels every single week. If you want to go deeper into motorcycle crash data and what the research actually says, I have a video right here that takes it even further. I'll see you in that one.